in the gathering of the saints together that is encouraging, that is uplifting, that is motivating, and that is exciting. I get so excited when we come together as a body to worship and to praise the Lord. I get so excited. I can't, you know, Sunday I wanted, and you're welcome because I didn't, but I wanted to jump up and run up here and run back and forth and just shout, can you feel the fire? Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Because I could feel it, and I was going crazy back there. And to keep myself from running, I decided I'd just get down on my hands and knees on the floor. You're welcome. It does that to me. I get so excited when we get together and we begin to worship the Lord. And you know, you guys know that there is power in our words. So when we're singing out these words, we're releasing power. We're releasing seeds. I mean, where would you rather be than in God's presence? I can't think of anywhere I would rather be than in His presence. And that's what we're telling Him. We're singing that to Him. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be than here in Your love. And you know that love goes with us everywhere we go. We are never separated from that love. We are never outside of that love. It goes with us, and it covers us, and it protects us, and it is with us all the time. And that's because Jesus came to earth and died on the cross and rose again and went back to heaven. And He sent to us the Holy Spirit. And now we are never without that love. We are never without His presence. We are never without Him with us. And that excites me. And when you get that much love and you get that much Jesus in a room with that many more people, it's an exciting thing that takes place in the spirit world. We should be the happiest people on the earth. We should be the most blessed people on the earth. We should be the most excited people on the earth because we have Jesus. We have Holy Spirit residing with us. Not just Jesus, but Holy Spirit living in us. You know, when the disciples were with Christ and He died, they were sad. They were so saddened because He was gone. They didn't understand what it meant. They finally came to understand He was Christ. But they didn't understand exactly what that meant for them from this moment forward. And so He had to come back to tell them. He had to rise again. And He had to go back to them and tell them, this is what it means. And when He told them He's going away again, they were sad all over again. And He said, no, you really want me to do this. You do. You really want me to do this, because when I return to my Father, I am sending to you the Holy Spirit, and He will live and move and breathe in you. My love will live in you. You will never, ever be separated from my presence or my love again. That's what Jesus did for us. Isn't that something to be excited about? I just start talking about it, and I'm sweating. I'm getting so excited up here. I'm about ready to run, and there isn't any music. Praise the Lord. That's what Jesus does. He's that exciting. He's that wonderful. Oh, praise the Lord. Before I keep going, let's pray. Woo, precious Heavenly Father, Lord, You work all things out according to Your glory, according to Your purposes and Your plan. Father, Lord, we just dedicate this moment, this time to You, Father. Lord, I surrender my mouth, my voice, my thoughts, my mind. I surrender it all to You for Your purposes, Father, for Your glory, Jesus. Lord, we just ask You to anoint this word into our hearts, oh God. Let it stir into the deep places in us, Father. And Lord, let it spur us to growth. Let it spur us forward. Let it motivate us. Let it encourage us. And let it lift us up tonight, oh God, to a new place in You. Father, Your word says that the deep calls out to the deep. Oh Lord, the depth of Your love, the depth, oh God, of Your love is calling out to us. It is calling to the deep places in us, and it's saying, come. It's saying, come. It's saying, come. It's saying, know Me. Know Me. Know Me, Father. And Lord, that's what we want to do. We want to know You more, Jesus. We want to spend more time in Your presence. And I ask You, Father, to have Your way. In the name of Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. If you will turn with me in your Bibles to John 15:16. How many were here when the Minister Scott Hughes came? How many were here? How many were prayed for? How many felt touched? You knew in that moment you were healed. And now how many people are fighting for that healing? Well, that's over. Oh, that's all of us. That bothers me on an extremely deep, visceral level. That we should have to fight for what is ours. But you know, that's kind of what life is about a little bit. Fighting for what is ours. Taking back what the enemy has taken from us, right? Not allowing the enemy to continue to lie and to steal from us. And that's one of the reasons we have to know the word. That's one of the reasons it's so important that we know the word. So when the enemy comes at us with a lie, we know it's a lie. And we can say, I rebuke you, Satan. The word says, and I think Pastor just said this in a sermon or two ago. It wasn't long. It was either one or two. The pastor said this. You know, we have to use the word against the enemy. You know, Jesus went fasting for 40 days in the wilderness, and he used the word against the enemy. Not the enemy's thwarted or converted or perverted word, but the word of God in truth. Hallelujah. And we have to know the word so that we can do that. So this is where we're going to begin tonight. John 15:16, and it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you, everybody say me, because that's what that means, me, not you. It means you, but it means me, right? Okay. That you should go and bear fruit. Everybody say bear fruit. Amen. Bear fruit. Bear fruit. That means there should constantly be fruit being displayed, being shown, being seen in us. Because Holy Spirit lives in us, and he is full of the fruits of the Spirit. He is the fruits of the Spirit. And so those fruits should be evident in us because he lives in us. Hallelujah. Bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain. That doesn't mean fruit today and gone tomorrow. That kind of happens sometimes. I go to church and I got all kinds of fruit showing. I'm bubbling up with joy and I'm just filled with love until I walk out those doors. Ah, that sister so-and-so, she did it again. She just thinks she's the most important. Or that brother so-and-so, you know, oh, I'm just so tired of him. That's not bearing fruit. That's a good show. Everybody can put on a show for a little while. But you know, when you're bearing fruit, it's constant. It's consistent. When you have the joy of the Lord, you have the joy of the Lord. When you walk in love and peace and joy and kindness and goodness, it just kind of oozes from you. It just becomes a part of who you are, because Holy Spirit is a part of who you are. And so his characteristics, his fruit, begin to change our lives. And we were meant that we should, that your fruit should remain, that the enemy can't steal your joy. The enemy can't steal your peace. The enemy can't steal your goodness or your gentleness or your faith. The enemy can't have it. He didn't give it to you. He can't take it away. But sometimes we kind of just surrender it up to him, don't we? Just, here you go. I don't need this right now. I'm going to have a pity party. Okay. That whatever you ask. So see, this is a connecting sentence. So we have a sentence here. And if we break it down into parts, every comma is a separate part. It's a part. So when you see a comma, you stop. You take a breath. Because that part said, now there's another part that's going to add to the first part. So when we get down that your fruit should remain, there's a pause. Fruit should remain. And now this is the last part. That whatever you ask the Father in heaven, he may give you. But this, see, this part of the sentence is connected on this part of the sentence. So if we're not remaining, if our fruit isn't remaining, if we're not staying in season and out of season with these fruit, that last part of that sentence isn't there. Because it's connected by that comma, held on by that comma. You could put a period in place of that comma, and it could just be the end. But the Lord wanted to connect this very important part that whatever you ask the Father in my name, that he may give you. But we have to go back to verse, to the beginning of it, and say, but appointed you that you should bear fruit. We have to bear fruit. When we're not bearing fruit, well, that's not a good place to be. That's not where we should be living. We're actually in sin when we are not bearing fruit, when we are not being the fruit. We are in sin. And that's not really something you want to say to people. Hello. And it's certainly not something you want to hear. But our getting what we ask for, what we beseech the Father for, is connected that we bear fruit. Whew, that's a little heavy, praise the Lord. Oh, what am I going to do? I can't do that. I can't live bearing fruit every second of every day. Do you know my grandchildren? Logan, please don't drop your pencil for the fifth time. Please finish that sentence. You've only got two words, and there's only three. Gabriel, sweetheart, don't stare out the window. Please focus. Please focus, honey. Gabriel, if you don't focus, I am just going to lose it. And sometimes we do. You know? And lots of us are wives and husbands in this room, and sometimes we lose it too, don't we? Don't ask Scott, because he'll tell you. Don't ask him, please, how often I lose it. Why? Sometimes I think we're missing a connector. I can't live in the fruit all the time, Lord. But you know that, right? So that makes it okay, right? I mean, because you know, and because, oh, I love this one, because I'm only human. And if any of you know me, you know I do not believe that for one second. But, okay, back to I'm only human. I can't possibly bear fruit all the time. That's so not true. And here's why. We're not only human. I'm not saying we're part ailing or something, but we're part Jesus, which is better. Jesus lives in us. We're not only human. We are Holy Spirit empowered children of the Most High God. Oh, now doesn't that sound better? We are the empowered children of the Most High God. That's not just human. We want to say that we're just human because we want an excuse to fail. We want an excuse to get out of doing what we know we're supposed to do. I can't live in the fruit all the time. Well, sure we can. Live in the Spirit. Because if you're living in the Holy Spirit, if you are constantly in Holy Spirit communication, if you are talking here and here to Holy Spirit all the time, you're not going to be nasty. You're not going to be ornery. You're not going to be unforgiving. You're not going to be unloving. But sometimes that's kind of how we live, isn't it? You know, I'm sure it's okay, Lord, because you knew all along that this is what it was going to be. You knew all along I was just human. Which is why he sent Jesus, because just human without Jesus equaled death. Because we couldn't live by the commandments. We couldn't live by the old law. And you know what this is? There's a word for this. One word. Pastor preaches on it all the time. Do you know what this is? Grace. This is grace. God chose you. That's grace. Thought of you. Created you. He loved you before you knew him. And he still loves you after knowing you. That's grace. Woo, if that was ever grace. It might be easy to love me before he knew me. But to love me after he knew me, that's grace. That's grace. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's grace. He knows how imperfect we are, how we're not even close to perfect, really. And he still chose you. He still loves you. And then he took it a step farther. He didn't just choose you. He didn't just love you. He made a plan. Woo, he made a plan, a perfect plan for you and for your life to assure you you could always be with him and death could no longer separate you from him. Woo, what a God we serve, that he loved us so profoundly and so completely that he created a way that he could always be with us and never be separated from us. If you lived with me, you'd be looking for time to be separated from me. I'm positive of it. The only ones who probably do not look for me to go away would probably be my grandchildren. I mean, really think about it. Think about yourself, and not how you should think about yourself, but how you actually think about yourself. That's a huge step, Lord. Like, to never want to be separated from me. Like, you want me to be in your presence all the time. Lord, do you know me? But he does know us, and he wanted nothing to ever again separate us from him, least of all our sin. That is amazing. What an incredible God we serve. You know, in all of mythology, in every religion, there is no God that did the same as what our God did. In all of the mythology, if you study the mythology at all, which I took a high school course. That's all it took, was a high school course. And I found I detested those gods because they were imperfect but wanted people to be perfect. They were fornicators, and they were adulterers, and they were murderers, and yet they wanted people on earth to worship them and to be better than them. Then Jesus sees the people that are murderers and adulterers and fornicators and robbers and stealers and all the things that people are, and he said, gosh, I love this people so much. They're lost. They're like lost sheep. And I'm going to make a way back for me. I'm going to make a way for them to reach me. I'm going to make a way for them to get back to me. And then I am going to take it one step further. I am going to put on them my righteousness so they don't ever have to see where they came from again. They don't have to remember where they came from again, because now they're covered in my righteousness. You know, his righteousness covers our ickies. His righteousness covers the ugly things about us. Oh, he's the only God. In every religion, in every study, he is the only God that did such a thing. Oh, praise the Lord. And he is such a good God. Hallelujah. And this is grace. This is grace, that he loved you and he cared for you and he made a good plan and a purpose for you even when you didn't deserve it, even when you never, ever, ever could deserve it. There is nothing you or I could do to ever be so good, so magnificent that we could earn his grace, because it's not in us. It's not in us, because we read that verse and we say, I can't bear fruit all the time. I have to have a downtime sometime, you know, to just be real. I had someone tell me once, they were angry at me. And they said to me, you know, I get the preacher thing, but I don't want to talk to the preacher. I want to talk to the real woman. I want to talk to the real one, you know, the real you. I'm like, there is something so wrong in that statement. This is me. But isn't that what the devil does? You don't have to be good right now. You can just be real for a minute. Do you know what really is real? Bearing fruit all the time. That's real, because Holy Spirit is real and he lives in us. Is it hard? Oh, sure, because my flesh is mighty. You want to meet mighty? Come meet my flesh. I have to beat her into submission with a baseball bat and tie wraps. She is strong. But Holy Spirit is stronger. If I live in Holy Spirit, my flesh has to surrender to the rule of Holy Spirit. I don't take a break from being filled with the fruit. That's not a break. That's a fall into the mud. That's a fall into sin. I don't have to do that, especially to please the enemy or to please someone else. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Go with me to Ephesians. And I think sometimes we struggle. Excuse me. Sometimes I think this is the point we struggle at. If I asked you what grace was, everybody in this room could stand up and give me a definition of grace. And maybe they all wouldn't be identical word for word, but they would be everybody's idea and everybody's take on grace. And they're probably all right. But knowing grace here and understanding it here is not the same thing. I know that I am saved through grace. I know that. I know that Jesus loves me no matter what I'm really like. But at the same time, remember I asked the question, how many of us are struggling with that healing? Sometimes I think we struggle because we're predisposed to doubt. We're raised in a world that said there's no such thing as medical miracles. We're raised in a world that says you don't get nothing for free. We're raised in a world that says you have to work to earn it. You have to work to get it. Right? So we grow up with this. You know, what do we tell our kids? Okay, you want a bike, you have to earn it. You have to, and that's a good principle. But it's so ingrained in us that it sometimes robs the spiritual blessing because it brings doubt into grace. You see, there isn't anything I can do to earn grace but accept it. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. And there isn't anything I can do to earn Jesus' love but to accept it. So Ephesians 2:8, this is a verse we all know. It says, for by grace, unmerited and undeserved favor, you have been saved through faith. Now, faith is believing. So, by grace, we've been saved through faith. Faith is about believing, and grace is about receiving. So, doubt comes in and says you don't deserve it, which robs us of our grace. And then, if grace has been stolen from us, our faith isn't going to work. Because faith is connected to grace. Because it's not about what we deserve. It's about what he's done. And so the enemy wiggles in because we're predisposed to doubt. You know, doctors have been telling, I'm going to tell on you again, I'm so sorry. I'm the worst kind of friend. Doctors have been telling Marty for years she's not healed. Whatever she had doesn't just go away. How many years has it been? Since 76. She's had it 76 years. How many years have you been healed? About 3 years. I think it's a little bit more than that. I think it's close to five. I think it is. I think it's close to five. But the doctors say it's not possible. So see, that's predisposed doubt. That's sowed into us by what we hear by outside forces. And so we're predisposed to doubt what God does. God doesn't like us to doubt. God doesn't like us to not believe. But so here it is. If our grace is lacking, then our faith isn't whole because faith is hinged on grace. Because you don't deserve salvation. None of us do. None of us deserve that Jesus died on a cross for us. There's nothing we can do to earn it. But do we believe we have it? Oh, yeah. Except for the grace part. It's through that grace that we got salvation. Because he loved us so much that he didn't want us separated. So when we're lacking in grace, our faith is weak and it doesn't function the way it's supposed to. So see, when we're looking to receive a healing, it's not just faith. Because I don't know about you, but the enemy starts the rundown in my mind. Well, you don't deserve to be healed, actually. Or your faith isn't strong enough. Well, you're just not good. I mean, God heals everybody, but not you, because you know, there's something wrong with you. Like, out of all the people in the whole world, there's something slightly more wrong about you that you don't get to have this healing. You don't deserve this healing. But healing isn't about what we deserve. Healing is about unmerited grace. Healing is connected to grace. And I've just learned this because I didn't understand. And I'll get to that in just a few minutes. So when we don't have a true understanding of grace, not just a dictionary understanding, but when grace isn't applied to everything we need, I need a healing and I have grace, I have favor, that healing is mine because Jesus paid for it. See, if we don't apply grace with the faith, then the enemy can say we don't deserve it, which we don't deserve anything anyway. And, you know, he's kind of right about that part. But he leaves out the whole part. It doesn't matter that you don't deserve it because grace covers you. It's in your inheritance package. It is a part of your inheritance package from the Lord. But we have to know grace. We have to believe grace. We have to sleep grace. We have to live grace. We can't have anything without going through grace. Hallelujah. Because there's nothing that deserves it. Hallelujah. So it's only through grace that these things come to us. Hallelujah. Because if our grace is lacking, our faith is lacking. Our faith isn't strong without grace. Whew, I don't know about you, but when the Lord started saying this to me, I got excited because it was a key I was missing. Because I didn't understand why, when we pray for healing, I wasn't healed. Why am I struggling with this or why am I struggling with that? I don't get it, Lord. I didn't understand that I had to receive it through grace and faith together. Of course I don't deserve it. I know that. But it doesn't matter that I don't deserve it. And we all know that we don't deserve it, right? And we all say that. Well, I don't deserve it, but that doesn't matter. Jesus did it anyway. But we can't forget the grace part. I'm having healing. I am getting healed because of grace. Because Jesus had grace for me and shed his blood. He bore the stripes on his back that I could claim healing through grace because it's not something we deserve. Whoo, that got me so excited when the Lord started speaking to this to me. Oh, hallelujah. Faith believing and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God. No faith, no grace. No grace, no faith. It's a gift from God. It's not something we can ever earn. It's not something we ever deserve. Has somebody ever given you something and you're like, I don't deserve this? Somebody has, I don't know who and I don't know where and I don't know when, but somebody has sporadically been slipping something into my purse, a little Holy Spirit blessing. And the first time I saw this blessing, I'm like, God, I don't deserve this. Where did this come from? Lord, I can't take this. Lord, what is this? I don't understand. Lord, I don't deserve this grace. Who is crazy enough to do such a thing? And the Lord just spoke to me and said, me? Oh, really? Oh, that changes it. Because I don't have to deserve it now. I don't have to earn it. I simply have to receive. And I can receive it through faith and grace. Because I don't have to earn it. Have you ever had somebody give you something and you thought, I can't accept this. This is too much. I haven't earned this. That happens to me. And I think, I haven't earned this. why are you giving me this? What? No, I can't accept this. This is beautiful. This is just too much. But God loves you too much. He loves you extravagantly. And through grace, we can accept that love. Through grace, we can accept that healing because it's not about what we deserve. It's about how much he loves me and how much he loves you and what he's done so you could receive. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's not about us. Okay, so I'm going to talk to you about the miracle of Jesus walking on the water. This is in Mark chapter 6. We're gonna look at verses maybe 45 through 48. We might read them, we might not. And this took place at the fourth watch. The fourth watch is sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. I want you to go down to where it says... Okay, so Jesus had been taking care of people and healing people and just peopling all day. And he was peopled out, I would guess. But maybe he never gets peopled out because he's Jesus. But he needed rest. And so what he did was he sent his disciples, and if you read this verse, you'll see it's there. He sent his disciples ahead of them to go across the water to another city. And he went up into the mountain to have some alone time and some prayer time. So that took place at whatever time. It doesn't say what time he sent his disciples away. It doesn't say what time he went to pray. But now if we go down to the next verse, it says, now when evening came. Oh, there it is. Perfect. Okay, so now we know that it's evening. And it's somewhere between the fourth watch of the night, which is between 3 and 6. Now, at 3, it can still be really dark. Depending on the time of the year, at 6 a.m., it's still extremely dark. And so here it is, between those hours, right? And the disciples are out on the water where he sent them to go, but they haven't gotten where they were supposed to go because at some point a storm rose up. And now they're fighting a storm. It says, and when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on land. We're going to keep going. It says, then he saw them straining at rowing. Okay, there is a horrible storm going on. The wind is against them. They're getting nowhere rowing. It's between 3 and 6, depending on the time of the year, would describe the visibility. Jesus is on land. They're in the middle of the water. And he saw them. That's better than 20/20 eyesight. That's better than 20/20. He's on shore looking out, and he can see them struggling. And you know what he does? He decides to just walk that way. He's got to get to the other side. And so he sets out. This part got me. Look. It was about the fourth watch of the night, and he came to them walking on the sea. That's the part we all know, right? Look at the last part. And he would have passed them by. He would have. That means he certainly could have. Would have means he was going to. He would have passed them by. There should be a comma and a but at the end of that. Because he didn't pass them by. But he could have. He could see them in the middle of the storm from the shore. He knew they were struggling. So he sets out walking on the water. And in my mind, he could have passed them by. I think he could have kept walking and they wouldn't even have seen him. They wouldn't even have known it was him. Peter didn't know it was him until he heard his voice. He could have left them straining at the oars, struggling to get to the other side. He could have walked and beat them there. Why do you think he didn't? Why do you think he stopped? And I asked the Lord this. Why didn't he, if he could have, and he would have? What stopped him? Do you know what stopped Jesus in every town he went? You know what stopped him dead in his tracks? Compassion. Everywhere he went, he was stopped because he was moved by compassion for the people. He said they were like a lost sheep without a shepherd. So everywhere he went, where people were sick, they were distressed, they were in need, he stopped because he was moved by compassion. Here's his disciples out in the middle of the storm. Have you ever felt like you were in the storm in the middle of the sea and you just were rowing and rowing and rowing and you couldn't get anywhere and you're thinking, what am I supposed to do? What am I going to do? I can't fight this. I can't live with it, but I can't fight it. There isn't anything I can do here. I can imagine what the disciples were thinking in that boat. And Jesus saw them from the shore. That's a long ways away. That's miles away. He saw them. And he could see they were struggling, and he went right to them. When he could have walked by them, he went to them. That's the God you serve, right there. Grace. Grace and compassion. It was his grace and his compassion that drove him to get into that boat with them, to stop the storm for them. And you know, he will stop the storm for you too. He will stop the storm. He will get in your boat. He's already in your boat. If you have grace and faith and you recognize that he's there, he's there with you. He will see you through to the other side. He will do what it is that you're pleading, what it is that you need, because he has compassion and grace for his people. He could have walked by them. He would have. But his compassion wouldn't let him ignore their pleas in the boat. And your pleas, I am telling you tonight, your pleas will not be ignored by the God who hears and the God who sees. He will answer. He's right there with you. Holy Spirit is with you. He is in you. He is in your boat. He is wherever you go. You are never without his love, his strength, his guidance, his grace. Oh, hallelujah. He would have walked right on by, but he didn't. Because Jesus, if you look through the New Testament over and over again, it says he was moved with compassion. That's the God we serve, a God full of compassion. He doesn't leave us in our suffering. He suffered stripes on his back so we didn't have to be in suffering. He saw suffering as he walked the earth. And he made a plan even before he walked the earth that he was going to alleviate our suffering. That he was going to suffer that we might not have to suffer affliction. That we might not have to suffer sickness and disease. Because through his grace and faith, we can receive the healing that he paid for. Not something we deserve, not something we earn. Something that's a part of our inheritance package through grace. It's a part of your inheritance. And we have to start looking at the things God does for us differently. It is because he's a good, good God. It is because he's full of compassion. But it's not about us in any way. And do you know what it is, really? When we think it's about us, that's called pride. Well, I'm not good enough. Well, that's false pride, because that takes us back to I. And a great pastor once told me that if it brings us back to I'm too scared, I'm too nervous, I'm not good at speaking. Well, that's all about pride. It's just false pride, so it slips in underneath there so you don't notice it as pride. But it's still pride. We don't need pride with grace. We don't need pride with grace. We don't need pride with grace, because grace covers everything. Everything we could ever need is covered through grace. Grace is better than Aflac. Grace covers everything. The unforgotten things. Grace covers everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somewhere between 6 and 3, not a very visible time. The middle of the sea, horrible storm. Hallelujah. Compassion, unwarranted love. Oh, yeah, that's grace. That's what grace is. Oh, praise the Lord. This excites me. It excites me that He loved me so much that He sees when I'm in trouble, wherever I'm at, no matter how clear or how near or how far I am, He sees when I'm in trouble, and it stirs His compassion to come to my rescue, to come to save me, to come to calm the storm. Hallelujah. That excites my heart in ways I cannot even explain. Jesus sees you right now, right where you are. Even in the middle of the storm, He will not lose sight of where you are. He could pass you by. He could look the other way. He could go on about His business, but He won't, because He is moved by compassion and grace. Oh, praise the Lord and His love. Thank you, Jesus. He loves us, and it's His love for us that moves His heart so strongly. Oh, it's a love that's pure and strong and full of grace. It's unwarranted. But because of this love, He's made a good plan for our lives. Hallelujah. That we should go and that we should bear fruit. And not just a fruit that comes and goes in seasons, but a fruit that's constant. A fruit that's always there. You know, if there was a fruit tree, let's just say apples for the sake of speaking. There was an apple tree, and it bore fruit all year long. Do you know what a hubbub that would raise? It'd be in the news. There'd be scientists studying that tree. How? It's the middle of the winter. How is it full of fruit? How is it looking so alive and not dormant? That's how we should look. We should be so alive and so full of fruit, even in the midst of the storm. And even in the midst of the trial, that people are going, how can you be so calm? How are you so calm? How are you so full of joy? How come you have peace? And then that's our moment to say, ooh, it's called grace. It's called the grace of God. It covers all of my nasties. And it helps me to walk in His Spirit, that I can bear fruit no matter what, because I know He's got me. I know He sees me right where I'm at, in the storm or in a cave, no matter where I'm at, He sees me, and He's making provision for me. Whatever that provision is that I need, He's making it. Whew, what a novel idea, that we should be so filled of Holy Spirit, that we're filled with the fruit and we're bearing fruit all the time. Because, you know, it's really not in the great times or in the good times that the glory of God's revealed. It's in the lion's den when you're alive in the morning. It's in the fire when there you are walking around in the midst of the fire. Hallelujah. That's where the real glory of God comes in. When you live through a famine and your oil jar doesn't run out, that's the glory of God. And that's when His glory is seen at its highest, when we are in the midst of the turmoil and the struggle, and we're still bearing fruit. We're still believing. And we don't have a problem believing, because we understand grace, and we understand they're connected. And it's not about how well I support myself or behave in this situation. It's about His unmerited favor and love covering me and carrying me through it. And I have faith to believe He's going to do what He said He's going to do, because I understand grace covers me even when I fail. Whew. That's exciting. That's exciting. This is the God we serve. And I just want to tell you tonight, no matter where you're at or what you're going through, Jesus sees. He sees, He knows, He hears, and He is moved by compassion for His people. Hallelujah. He has compassion for us. Hallelujah. And He will meet your needs in that place wherever you are at. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Praise your name. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you and we just thank you tonight. Lord, we thank you for grace, not just a dictionary definition that we can roll off the top of our tongues, but Lord, an understanding so deep of how grace combines with faith to make a full package. How grace makes faith possible, Lord. How grace makes your promises possible, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you, Father. Lord, I ask that you just burn this word, burn your word into our hearts deeply and irrevocably, Father. Lord, help us to draw closer to you through your word and through your presence living in us. Help us, Father, to bear fruit all the time. Let our fruits be all the time, Father. Let us not just have a season or a moment that we're living and bearing fruit. But Lord, let us be always living and bearing fruit and walking in your spirit and in your presence. Lord, we just thank you for your word tonight, oh God. And we just give you glory, Father. We just give you glory in the name of Jesus, Father. We pray. Amen. If you tuned in tonight, thank you for watching. We're so glad to have you join us. We just appreciate you. And just know that he sees you. The God of all creation. The God of heaven and earth, he sees you right where you are. Hallelujah. And his grace covers you. His love covers you. He will meet you right there. Bear fruit. Choose to bear fruit, because it's a choice. We get to choose it. Praise the Lord. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless you. Hallelujah.